right. We are back on the Andy Finn Show. And Mike, on this day in 1985, 20 years ago today, Pete Rose tied Ty Cobb's record for most hits in a career, 4,191. And, of course, he went on to break that record substantially. And he thought he'd written his ticket to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and then he started betting like a wild man.
Well, he'd already been betting, apparently.
Yeah.
But at that point, Bart Giamatti unpunched his ticket, and we still don't have Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, and I'm not going to go into that today because I'm tired of talking about Pete Rose over the years. In 1985, also on this day, the USA Weekend section that comes in the paper, you know, it's kind of the alternate to Parade, was started. So it's 20 years ago today that they started that little rag. And a year before that, in 1974, President Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon of all federal crimes.
That was real nice of him, wasn't it?
Well, he did it to heal the nation, and he did it knowing it would probably cost him the election, because I think it probably did. And so, although I'm not sure the country would have elected any Republican after the Nixon administration. I think it's the same way in which, you know, Clinton blamed Gore for not running a smart campaign because he said after 8 years of prosperity, why not four more? But I think the country, the one thing the Republicans did accomplish with impeachment was to make the country sick of the Clinton presidency and wish the problem would go away. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think, I mean, I think that was a huge help to Bush in getting in. And so I don't think Ford had any chance of beating Jimmy Carter, frankly, because he was the Republican candidate. And the Republican candidate was in the same party as Richard Nixon. The country was ready to punish the Republicans for associating themselves with Nixon. That's how I read it. Anyway, let's move on to Hurricane Katrina. Oh, no, there's one more piece of news. So celebrity-type news. So, Mike, I'm sure you heard about this, but Gilligan died this past week. And so today, I believe, was the funeral. They had a three-hour hearse ride and buried him under a coconut tree in L.A.
Were the Harlem Globetrotters there?
I don't know for sure, but I do know that he's the only former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court who also served as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and had his own TV show.
What? Talking about Gilligan or Rehnquist?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting my lines mixed up here. That's Rehnquist. That part of that's Rehnquist. Back to the Gilligan story. So they did some interviews, and Marianne is in mourning, and the professor had nice things to say about him. But the skipper was quoted as saying, you know, I never really liked that little guy.
Yeah, apparently they didn't like each other at all, really.
Well, it was those damn coconuts.
It was.
Gilligan, drop those coconuts.
Well, he's in the great big island in the sky.
So. Yes, he is. So now I'm ready to move on to Hurricane Katrina. So let me just review kind of the major stories or components of the story. There's the rescuing of the victims and then moving them elsewhere. We'll talk a couple of minutes about that. There's the recovery plan. I've read a bit and heard a bit this week about how colleges and different businesses are planning to deal with the next 6 months to a year. There's the disconnect, and we're going to go through that. That is the statements by officials saying everything was rosy, and the news people who were getting more and more angry because everything was not rosy. People were hurting, and then people were dying. And then the blame game, all the finger-pointing that went on, we are going to review some of that because there were some incredible statements made this week, and I will explain to everyone what my take is on the blame game. And then there's a big issue, which is how to rebuild and what to rebuild. Should they just go ahead and rebuild this city? Should they allow anybody that's got insurance money to just rebuild on their property? Or should there be guidelines and strict guidelines about what you can and cannot do? So remind me to come back to that issue.
Okay.
So in terms of rescuing the victims and moving them elsewhere, what was the most interesting story that you heard this week, Mike? I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you have one? Because I have a couple, and I can give you a minute to think about one.
Oh, as far as the rescues?
Yeah.
not really, I don't know if interesting is the word. It's just a lot of heartbreaking stories, really, and then again, a lot of good news as well. People being reunited, thinking their loved ones are dead and being reunited. But the most interesting to me is the distances that these people are being relocated to. They're being moved all the way up to Massachusetts, also all the way out west to Los Angeles. I mean, it seems quite a few states have taken in a lot of these evacuees.
And did you hear about the buses that came back to D.C.?
No.
So they sent a caravan down. I think it was 10 buses.
I know they flew some in to Dulles the other day.
I don't remember what I read about that, but I think it was 10 buses, 2 emergency vehicles, 2 police escorts. All these volunteers went down to bring back hurricane victims. They were going to put them in the D.C. Armory, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They did a lot of work while they were down there. They distributed a lot of food. They did helped a bunch of people, rescued a couple of people. They came back. All 10 buses came back with a grand total of 1 person.
Wow, that person was traveling well.
They just apparently didn't need the help at that point, or people didn't want to come to D.C. They said, "Are you kidding me? That place is crime-ridden."
Yeah.
I've heard bad things about the neighborhood the D.C. Armory is in.
Yeah, that's not too far from the truth. Well, a lot of people are refusing to leave. That's what surprises me.
Well,
they're thinking of forcibly removing some of these people that are staying behind.
You know, I think they're going to end up not forcibly removing them, but they've been going back and forth on that issue in the last 24, 48 hours. Realistically, it'll cause problems if they do. There were shots fired today at police by somebody who didn't want to get out, stuff like that. And so I don't think they'll ultimately force people out, but the problem is you now need to guard people. Now, some people are trying to protect their possessions. They don't want to leave their house behind as long as they think there may be some looters still left. And you don't know how many of these people that are staying plan to get up to no good at night. But you got to figure, if you could stay in town and, you know, say you have a small boat, you know, you have a rowboat. If you can get into every house in the place, there are valuables in every one of these houses.
Yeah.
You could just look for jewelry or money or whatever it is on the second floor, obviously. So it's a dilemma for the police to decide what to do, but it'd be nice if they could get them all out of there. The other thing I think is people don't realize the hazards that this pea soup that they're walking through.
Ugh.
The EPA released a study, I think, in the last 24 hours talking about the levels of E. coli and other stuff in it.
Lead.
It's 10 times the levels of E. coli that they recommend. So they now say you should avoid all contact of skin to the water, which is going to be tough for a lot of people. And then there's lead. They say when you drive by a gas station, you can smell the fuel in the water right there. Of course, that's going to get spread out. Of course, all of this is going back into Lake Pontchartrain ultimately.
Yeah.
They've got, 4 pumps operating now? And there'll be more. And so
there'll be some great fish in there next year. Some nice 38-foot bass with 6 eyes. It'll be great.
And it's good eating.
Yeah.
Well, so it is interesting how far they're moving these folks. And, you know, I think it was very generous of the governor of Texas to take in. What'd they take in, like 250,000?
Yeah, a ton of them. And all over Texas. Just the people of Texas in general, you know, not just the governor. I mean, they've just opened their arms.
Yes, and it's sort of surprising to me, and I'll tell you why. If you were to sit down with your council of advisors or with the people in your party, in your legislature, and say, well, let's consider what's the implications of bringing people here. A lot of those people are going to move to Texas and not move back. Now, some states are going to say, yeah, we'd like more population. And other states are going to say, no, we don't want more people. Some would say we don't want more black people. Some would say we don't want more poor people. You know, because to the extent that a lot of these people are poor, they are not going to, you know, help the economy of Houston necessarily, or whatever city they move to. So I think it's interesting that they I don't think they made that calculation, that political, that economic, that calculation 1 year, 5 years down the road, what will happen to the state. They just said, these people need help, and we're going to help them for the next year or so. And I just think it's great.
Now, let me ask you this question in lieu of what you just said. Let's say they do rebuild New Orleans, and they get everything up and running, and it becomes habitable again. How many people are going to move back there?
Well, here's the problem. Most of these people did not own their homes. They're renting. Now, if you owned a piece of property in New Orleans, and you, let's say you own a, you had a house that had three apartments, one on each of the three floors, and you rented it in a low-income area, not quite slumlord stuff, but low-income housing, mm-hmm. you're going to rebuild on that spot. Or maybe you won't. Maybe you'll sell it to development, right? Somebody's going to build a big apartment complex, or somebody's going to build a strip mall or whatever they build. But let's say you rebuild. It's a brand new building. It's no longer low-income housing. Now, they'll put them up on stilts. The first, I suspect there'll be laws about this, that no one can build. You'll have to build the way they do in Florida and at the Outer Banks, where the very first floor is essentially, there's lattice work around it, but it's your garage, and you can store beat stuff there, but nobody puts anything valuable. You don't live on the first floor. It's cement, and mm-hmm. the house is up on metal stilts, essentially, or sometimes it's wooden. Right. But the point is, nothing can get damaged. Even in 12 feet of water, nothing can get damaged. That's how they'll rebuild New Orleans. But these will be brand new buildings. The people at the Astrodome won't be able to afford the rent, no matter what the rent is. It's going to be, they're going to be priced out of new housing. It just almost has to be that way.
So this was almost a sadistic way to kind of rejuvenate the urban areas of New Orleans.
I know what you're saying. I read an interesting article that said, you know, we've known for some time that we had a huge problem and that we had a third of a million, half a million people living in a dangerous zone. You know, the poorest neighborhoods are at the lowest points in New Orleans. You'll notice the French Quarter, the most pricey real estate, and the oldest buildings were built at the highest elevation. Why would anybody, if you were building 150 years ago or longer, why would you build in the lowlands? You'd build at the highest elevations. It's mm-hmm. only afterwards that people took the least desirable land, and of course the poor ended up living in the least desirable places. So maybe they'll decide that they can fill some of that in, you know, a massive program to fill it in so that when you did build something up on stilts, it doesn't have to be 15, 18 feet high. It can just be 8, 10 feet high. I don't know. But what this person said, and I think she was a former planning, it was on NPR, I guess. She was a former city planner for New Orleans. And she said, we've known we've got a problem in these low-lying areas for some time. But if you were to go to the federal government and say, we need $25 billion to tear down these city neighborhoods, hundreds of blocks of them, and move the people out temporarily, rebuild up to code, put the stuff up on stilts so that people won't get flooded out, the government would look at you and say, you're nuts. We're not going to pay for that. Mm-hmm. Now it's been forced on us, and you have to pay for it. I don't say the government will pay for all of it. Insurance companies will pay for some of it. But most people didn't take flood insurance. You know, so it'll be interesting to see, but I hope there's some good planning goes into this. And then it'll be interesting to see what kind of housing gets put up. But I guarantee you there's a whole percentage of people that have been bussed out of New Orleans that are never coming back. Mm-hmm. In part, they may not want to. In part, they won't be able to afford to. Now, there are plenty of people for whom the neighborhoods are family and friends. Right? They've lived there their whole lives. People tend to stay in a lot of southern cities, but particularly in New Orleans, people tend to go there and stay there. And so you end up with a lot of people displaced who really are going to miss their old neighborhoods. You know, in a lot of cities, people don't know their neighbors. New Orleans, as with many southern cities, it's a little bit less like that. For a big city, the neighborhoods were cohesive. People did know each other. People had large families that live together or live near each other in the city, that kind of thing. Well, those folks are going to have trouble, and they're going to want to go back to New Orleans, and the question is, will they find affordable housing? That's my question. I've not heard anyone else put it quite that way. But Barbara Bush had an interesting take on this week. This is former First Lady Barbara Bush, mother of W and wife of Bush 41.
She really does look like the First Lady. How old is she, like 3,000?
I think she is ancient.
Anyway,
it's that white hair. She's had it for 25, 50 years.
The Q-tip look.
So she basically seemed to be concluding that the poor people from New Orleans were actually pretty lucky to be in the situation they are today. This is a direct quote. Quote, Everyone is so overwhelmed by the hospitality. And so many of the people in the arena here, you know, were underprivileged anyway. So this is working very well for them. This is in an interview she did with America Public Media's Marketplace program. And then she went back to her multi-million dollar home on the other side of Houston. But that just... I know that she meant well, but like her son, who made some bonehead statements in the last few days, she's just not very sensitive to all of these issues. So that's kind of weird. And we'll get to some of the other quotes from other people a little later. But anyway, so this issue of moving people elsewhere, I mean, getting them out of New Orleans was the only way. And so I think it's great the way people have taken them in. There's a website you can go to if you want to sponsor a family or invite somebody into your home for the foreseeable future. There are plenty of people doing it.
Now, do you think that too much focus is being put on New Orleans? I mean, granted, it's a huge problem what's going on there because it's a major U.S. city that's been flooded. But Hurricane Katrina has damaged an area about the size of Great Britain, a lot of people are saying. And you've got other areas, the Gulfport, Biloxi, you know, Pascagoula, parts of Mississippi. And are they being neglected because all the focus is on New Orleans?
Well, perhaps a little bit. On the other hand, New Orleans is uninhabitable. So that if your house didn't get flattened, and it was mostly right near the water that everybody's houses got flattened. Poor Trent Lott lost his whole house. We know that.
Poor baby.
The people that live inland 20 or 50 miles may have some damage, but they're back in their houses now. And they may still not have electricity, but they have a base of operations. That's what's different about New Orleans, is even the rich, whose houses weren't touched, can't go back or aren't supposed to be going back yet. And so, very different situation, I think. So I think the rest of the state's a little different. Also, if you had family outside of Biloxi, or one of the cities that got hit hard, Gulfport, wherever, you know, in another part of the state, you could go and stay with them for a few days. What I'm surprised at is, I suppose the people that have a place to go have gone there, but I'm always amazed at how people don't know people around the country. In other words, all these people at the Astrodome apparently don't have anybody else that could take them in. Now, I have family, and I'm speaking of without calling them first, but I've got a brother in Tennessee. I've got a sister in Denver. Her place is too small. They sold their main house and bought an apartment. They're retired, so I couldn't move in with them. But, heck, before they'd see me in the Astrodome, they'd find a friend of theirs in Denver that would put me up, that has an extra room, their kids are gone to college, whatever it is, you know. My brother in Minnesota would put me up. My sister or brother in Webster, New York would put me up for, you know, for indefinite amounts of time. And then I've got friends. And I've got friends in a lot of different cities. So
I'd put you up for...
Well, no, if this area got hit, you and your family would be looking for a place, too. We'd both be out of luck, is what I'm thinking.
I know what you're saying. I've got family in Europe. I've got family
That's
on
right.
the West Coast.
I've Colorado. Got friends. I could name 10 or 15 friends off the top of my head spread all over the country that I could impose on for a period of time. I would say, you know, weeks to months or whatever.
Al Franken's one of those friends.
No, I don't think so.
It's too bad.
No, I guess it is. He probably's got a nice home.
Yeah.
He probably would open his door to me if he knew how cool I was.
I think he would. A little persuasive.
No, he's a heartless liberal. Let's face it. Anyway, when we come back, we are going to talk about the recovery plans for various businesses, colleges, and other people who are trying to scramble and find Plan B since Plan A ain't working this week.